This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Russian President Vladimir Putin on Monday proposed bilateral talks with Kyiv for the first time in years and said he was open to more ceasefires after a one-day Easter truce. Putin's comments come as he faces pressure from Washington to show a willingness to make peace in Ukraine. Speaking to a state TV reporter, he said Moscow was open to any peace initiatives and expected the same from Kyiv.
Well, we've watched the president come into his second term talking about the need to achieve peace between Russia and Ukraine, said he was the man for the job. We're 90 something days into this second term, and he hasn't been able to snap his fingers and bring everyone to the table. But I do believe it sounds like he has made progress. Let's get to Jim Carafano and see what he has to say about this. The senior counselor to the president and E.W. Richardson Fellow for International Engagement at the Heritage Foundation on X at JJ Carafano. Jim, welcome back. Good to have you here.
So you know when you see those commercials and then they said there's the fine print at the bottom?
Yeah.
Like this will give you cancer, you know. But
are we in the fine print?
Right. Yes. When Trump said I could end the war in 24 hours, he wasn't just blowing smoke. But, you know, people didn't really pay attention to what was behind that, which is that's if both parties were willing to come to the table and make a deal.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be done in 24 hours. But what's been very clear is Putin is being very Russian, which is the Russians want something for nothing. They want to get everything. And that's always their opening negotiating position. And so getting Putin to the point where he has to think, you know what, it's not going to get any better for me. And really, of all the leaders in the world, Donald Trump is the only person who could do that. I don't know if we're at that point, but we might be at that point.
Jim Carafano joining us right now with the Heritage Foundation. You know, I think that listening to the way Donald Trump talks, and he always gives you, like, this is what we're going to get to. We've talked a lot about tariffs here on the show and how right. He has said, you know, we're not going to snap our fingers and make everything great. We're going to go through a little bit of up and down right. Before we get to where we need to go. But you got to do hard things to get the actual good results. Do you feel like on a foreign policy level, he's got a lot of things he's juggling right now? Is he delivering?
You know, I think so. Actually, I think, again, it's really remarkable. I mean, I've been dealing with this guy for, you know, a decade of my life now. And, you know, when I say this is what we need to do and this is what needs to get done, normally, I think I agree with him on almost everything. But where we tend to differ is I'm a lot more patient and a lot more conservative in the sense that, you know, I'm always thinking about, okay, do this and then do that. But Trump is like, no, just do it all and do it now. And you have to understand, he knows he's only a one-term president. He knows, unlike last time, he has the experience and a really competent team to get things done. And he only has 4 years to do that. And there's so much to get done because, let's be honest, I'm not, you know, again, not Republican, not a Democrat, but the reality is Biden screwed a lot of stuff up. And he's just very impatient to do that. And his answer is the only way to do that is to just carpet bomb the world and try to get it all done at once. And maybe the argument is, you know, there's so much disruption, there's so much turmoil, there's so much pressure on people that people are going to respond to me. And I guess that's the strategy.
Yeah, you know, Jim, we were talking about, you know, other things that the president is engaged in all at once. He has approached so many things, and he hasn't even reached 100 days yet in his second term.
Right.
A lot of it has foreign policy consequences, benefits, good consequences, bad consequences. The tariffs certainly are a foreign policy issue to the extent that our partnerships are they in question right now? How do the tariffs affect our relationships with allies and people who maybe sometimes are allies?
Well, here's a couple of things to watch for. On the Russia front is one, does Putin fold? And if he doesn't, how does the United States respond to that? That I think, is a key indicator of where this administration is going. On the other one is, look at take a 90-day view here and look and see what happens. If some key countries, and it's not necessarily the most important trade partners with us, it's really the important trade partners with China, see what they do. If they come to the table and cut a deal, Indians, by the way, just announced that they agree in the terms of reference for a deal, and the Japanese have already been here. If you start to see those fall into place, then you know that those are pretty good indicators about how effective Donald Trump's being.
Yeah. And he's leading the charge on this, but he's got a lot of people, when he assembled his cabinet, leading into his actual inauguration, there was a lot of preparation that went into all of these different things that he wanted in his transformative second term. The Ukraine conflict, or the Ukraine-Russia war, I should say, it's more than a conflict, has been a very important issue for Americans. We have a lot invested in it. Ukraine has been very wrongfully attacked. So many people have died in this war. What is a workable resolution in America's role in that, with that war?
Well, I actually think we're pretty close to this. One is, look, we want the fighting to stop, not just because that's going to save innocent Ukrainian lives, which is, I think, actually should be the most important thing on the list, but also that dramatically decreases the potential for the conflict to spread in Europe. The other thing is we need the Europeans to stand up and carry the load in helping ensure a free and independent Ukraine. And quite honestly, we're kind of seeing that. I mean, not only are Europeans increasing their own defense spending in their own countries, but they're increasingly stepping up and adding into Ukraine. And the fact that, you know, America's going to get this mineral deal with Ukraine is a strong indicator that, you know, we're not walking away and leaving Ukraine. The other thing is, it's also another thing to watch for, is Trump is making mineral deals all over the world. He is bound and determined to break China's monopoly on the control of rare earths and other critical minerals that are needed for global production. So in the next, you know, 3 or 4 months, we're going to see if all of this is starting to break the U.S. way. And, you know, if I was betting today, I wouldn't bet against the guy.
Yeah, I think that is safe. That is a safe way to bet. When we're speaking with Jim Carafano right now, senior counselor to the president and E.W. Richardson fellow for international engagement at the Heritage Foundation, Donald Trump has boasted about his willingness to talk to and in some ways legitimize people like Vladimir Putin. Of course, we in his first term saw his relationship evolve, I guess I would say, with North Korea. China is always the big question mark. It's kind of seems like a necessary evil for the American economy, but also a concern that we have in how China is involved in a lot of our conflicts that we are a part of across the world. Is the tariff strategy, do you feel like his efforts on tariffs are really about China? Does it all kind of surround what kind of deal he can get done with China? Is China the make or break?
Well, I mean, that's what it's evolved into. And it's actually not getting a deal with China. I mean, Trump is very predictable in the sense that he always offers his adversaries an off-ramp, except for terrorists. He just kills terrorists. But everybody else, the Russians, North Korea, he's always offered them an off-ramp. It's like, and if you take it, great, then we're done. But it's not just getting a deal. Of course, everybody loves to do deals, but Trump doesn't like to do bad deals. So if you can get to a deal that protects America's interests, fine. I don't have a problem doing a deal with you. And as an alternative of me stomping on you, that's what he's doing with China. He's doing it with Russia. He's doing Iran. I'm not super optimistic on a lot of these, because in the end, you're asking these countries to negotiate away the thing that's most important to them, which is destroying the United States. And they just don't see that as in their interest. So I'm not super optimistic we're going to get, you know, big successful deals with countries like Iran and China, even Russia. I'm not expecting Russia to become a good guy overnight. I'm expecting a very, very small and narrow deal. But it's, that's the president's style, is to look, say, we don't have to do this. You know, he, at the end of the day, is just an unbelievably compassionate man who cares about people, and he doesn't want people to suffer. He's not trying to impose his will on the world. He's not being a bad guy just to be a bad guy. He's pressuring people to get good things done for all Americans and for our friends and allies in the end as well, I think.
That's high praise for President Trump, and the media has, and a political party, the political opponent, I should say, has worked very hard to make sure people don't see Donald Trump as a human. And you refer to him as compassionate. That's not the way the American media has presented him for some time. And we're always warned, like, what are our allies going to think? What is the sentiment towards President Trump, the relationship, the expectation of his personality across the world?
Well, look, I think there's the popular media that, you know, caricatures that are whipped up. There are people that sure as hope and aspirations who obviously push for success. And then, honestly, I got to be honest with you, I think most leaders in the world, the people that actually have to make the decisions, their response to Trump is pragmatic. You know, we realize that if we're going to work with this guy, we have to find something that works for him and works for us and find a pragmatic solution. And if we get there, the president will accept that. Mm. And that's, you know, kind of the way they come at this.
Yeah. Politics is so emotional. Policy is really not, it seems.
Right.
And I've heard President Trump even say about President Xi, like, as far as the trade deal imbalance goes, he's like, I understand why President Xi was doing it, because he could, because we let him. And he right. kind of gives deference and respect to President Xi for getting the best deal for China and just saying that's not the way it's going to play anymore. Do President Trump and President Xi have a working relationship?
They do, but I think, again, I think their core objectives are so different. It's going to be very difficult for them. They'll find out a way to live in the world together, but they're not going to find out a way to solve all these problems. The other thing I would say is, too, you hear these things about, well, you know, there's chaos in the Trump administration. These people are arguing this, and these people are, and again, but this is Trump's way of doing things. Trump likes to hear lots of different views and lots of competitive ideas. And then he likes to say, I'm the decider in chief. I'll pick what's best. So what often goes off as chaos, you know, fighting for the president's ear, manipulating the president like Rasputin, is often the president enjoying the vibrant policy debate and then driving forward. So I actually think, you know, and this is the problem is, you know, anybody who wants Trump to act like anybody except Donald Trump is always going to be disappointed.
Yeah, that's very well said. Jim, we appreciate you always. There's never a shortage of things to discuss with you. So thanks for spending some time with us this afternoon.
Oh, it's such a privilege for the best radio show in the history of radio shows.
I appreciate it. That's very well said. I appreciate it, Jim. We'll talk to you again soon. Oh, man. He doesn't ever, he never parses those compliments. I would say I think he tells all the girls that. All right. When we come back, Chairman Jason Smith is going to be with us, Missouri's 8th District Representative, and he's the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee. A couple of things to speak with Congressman Smith about. He went to El Salvador. He had conversations with some people in El Salvador prisons, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
They told him things.
Yes. His trip was for trade, but then he also got to visit the prisons.
And he said he would be willing to talk to us about those conversations he had with inmates in the El Salvadoran prison.
Yep.
Let's do that next on the Annie Fry Show. Congressman Jason Smith, next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
How many pressing constitutional issues have been swept aside that American citizens need resolve,
right,
who are being persecuted by left-wing mayors, left-wing governors, left-wing bureaucrats who actually need relief? How many of their concerns have been swept aside so our entire judicial system can spend hour after hour, week after week, month after month, scrutinizing every single last detail of a deportation of an invader sent here by a foreign government?
Steve Miller on Newsmax talking about Abrego Garcia. He's been very vocal on this. But one thing he says there that I think is so important is questioning those swept aside issues, the things that our government doesn't seem to be focused on that actually matter in favor of the political storm that gets created by a party in opposition to Donald Trump and a media that looks to subsidize those frustrations with the guy who won the election fair and square. Let's get to our guest. We're speaking with Chairman Jason Smith. He is the 8th District Representative for the state of Missouri in the United States House of Representatives. He's also the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee. Chairman Smith, thank you for being with us here today. It's always good to have you here.
Great to be with you, Annie. Hope you had a wonderful Easter.
Yes, you as well. We certainly did. I think there's a lot of stuff that I want to talk to you about. The first thing I want to get to before we talk about the big, beautiful bill is your trip to El Salvador, which I understand you went there on a trade mission and you got to visit an El Salvadoran prison. And I was hoping that you could provide us some context of what the Trump administration is trying to do here to make America safe again and what the experience is that you've had in that El Salvadoran prison visiting with some of those inmates.
Of course. You know, last week I led a group of members on a trade delegation. The Ways and Means Committee is the committee of jurisdiction over all trade policy. And as you've seen in the news, the president's been a little proactive when it comes to trade items. And so we were meeting with the trade ministers of several different countries. One of them was El Salvador. And while we were in El Salvador, in fact, we visited that I wouldn't even call it a prison. It was a terrorism control center. And they took us throughout the entire center. And I'll tell you, I mean, we've looked over the last 4 years in the prior administration. They did nothing to secure our southern border or get violent illegals off the streets. And President Trump has done this, and he's done this by working with other countries to be partners. And one is the president of El Salvador. And while we were in that prison, Annie, or that facility, I'll tell you, the warden or the main guard had called two different people out by name from the cell, and they came over to us. He had them take off their shirts. And both of them had these MS-13 tattoos. They said that's the gangs that they were part of. And he asked the first one, he's like, where in the United States were you? And that prisoner said, Highland Park, California. How many people have you killed? Six, is what he said. He went to the next person. He's like, where were you at in the United States? That person said, Northern Virginia. How many people did you kill? And he wouldn't answer it. These are the people that were on the streets in the United States of America. And President Trump has taken these people off the streets. They're all El Salvador residents and citizens. They're not U.S. citizens. They're illegals that were violent and harming Americans.
Whew. I mean, to think that they could be sitting there in that Not in the place where you were, but still in Highland Park, California, or in Northern Virginia, and just existing. Are those specific, are those people, specific people that were deported by Trump?
These are people that were absolutely deported. And so they were in the United States illegally. They were violent criminals in the United States, and they're no longer in the United States, and they're off our streets. So it's definitely what has happened. And I'll tell you, our country will be safer because of that.
Yeah, that's wild to think. I know a lot of has been made about the tattoos on Abrego Garcia's hands as he was meeting with the senator of Maryland, the Maryland senator meeting the Maryland man who's actually from El Salvador. Those tattoos on his hands. I mean, can you be a part of MS-13? Can you like dabble in MS-13? Like, oh, I was a part of this gang, but now I'm not anymore and I'm clean and still have those tattoos on your hand?
You absolutely can't. And we saw so many different gang members there, all different gangs. 18th Street, MS-13, you could just go on and on, these international gangs that made El Salvador the deadliest country in the world, and the president of that country, by creating this facility and taking those criminals off their streets, has now made El Salvador the safest country in the world. In fact, there's a lot of folks, El Salvadorians, that are in Washington, D.C., that feel safer in their home country than they do in the city in Washington, D.C.
Chairman Smith, we're here, of course, broadcasting in St. Louis. We serve a bi-state region, the west side of Illinois, and, of course, the east side of Missouri. Are these gangs in our listening area right now?
They're everywhere. They're absolutely everywhere. And if you don't think they aren't, that you're mightily fooled. We saw millions of people cross the southern border in the last several years that's here, and they're all over the place.
Well, while the president is working to fulfill his commitment to make America safer again, of course, the Democrats are pushing heartily back on that in every way that they possibly can. In the meantime, the business of the United States government and the funding of the government has to take place. You are the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee. Give us the very entry level view on how DOGE is effectively pulling back money that doesn't need to be spent, but also the progress towards, with a super slim majority of Republicans in the House, the ability of that big, beautiful bill, Donald Trump's one of his number one wishes, to get done. How is that going to take place?
You know, DOGE has been doing a very good job in looking at the inefficiencies in government, the wasteful spending, and helping stop that. And they've been using basic things as artificial intelligence, AI, to research all of this. And it's amazing. It's amazing some of the waste that they've uncovered. At some points, I'm like, is this actually true? I mean, and then you look deeper and you're like, holy cow. Like, and so there's a lot of ways that we can save money by addressing these efficiencies and wasteful spending. And in fact, that's what we're pushing and we're going to deliver on. But when you look at the one big, beautiful bill that the president's talking about, of course, that's in the Ways and Means Committee's jurisdiction. We're preparing. We've been working on this for months, for the moment in time. And over the next several weeks, you're going to see a lot more progress. We're going to deliver on the president's priorities of no tax on tips, no tax on overtime, tax relief for seniors, tax relief for products produced in the United States. These are all things that President Trump has called for, and we're going to deliver on them.
With such a small majority of Republicans, you can't really afford to have any disagreements. Anybody who says, nope, this isn't enough for me. In the House, are we going to see representatives who can't be satisfied on the Republican side?
You know, I tell all my colleagues, we all have to give and take. We have to deliver for the American people. Failure's not an option. Like you said, we can only lose a handful of people, three at the most. We can't lose more than three whenever we're voting on this. So we're all going to have to give and take. We're going to have to thread the needle to deliver for the American people. I am thankful so far that all the major tasks at hand, we've stuck together. We've been able to deliver. The budget resolution, which is a requirement in order in the first steps to move this big, beautiful bill, we've been able to pass it with only two members of the House voting against it. And then we've looked at, you know, just like maintaining funding in government. We did that with solely Republican votes. So we have been standing together. We'll continue to do that on this one big, beautiful bill.
I would think that of in the amount of time that you've spent in Congress, there are some times that bills become complicated. A lot of things get thrown in. You support 90% of it. You're going to get hit on the other 10% if you end up being primaried by some Republican who wants to hone in on just that specific thing. So compromise, what did Ronald Reagan say? Like, better to get 80% of something that you want than nothing. And I think that if Republicans were ever going to come together to do so under the umbrella of what Donald Trump promised he would do and the transformative nature of what Donald Trump promised to do, that this would be the time to say, you know what? I'm going to do this under the Donald Trump goal here. And I think that constituents across the country would understand that. Is Trump the true leader on this effort?
Trump is without a doubt a leader. It's because of President Trump and the 77 million Americans that supported him why we're in position to deliver this bill. It is super important that we deliver on it. If we don't, 207 million taxpayers will face, on average, a 22% increase in their taxes. That alone is a reason why failure is not an option. And of course, the campaign promises that the president made for working class families and small business owners and farmers, we're going to deliver on that. We're also going to deliver in this bill on securing the border, making sure that the adequate resources in protecting our homeland. And we're going to make sure that we eliminate unnecessary regulations that we in this bill.
Congressman Jason Smith with us. Last question before we go. Are there any Republicans who are willing to impose that tax increase on the constituents in their district and across the country more than they're willing to compromise?
I sure hope not. That's going to be tested over the next several weeks. But I can tell you, I'm not going to give up till this is on the president's desk and it's signed into law and it's delivering that certainty and that relief for hardworking Americans who have been struggling over the last 4 years of an inflation crisis of almost 20 plus percent.
Mm. Well, we're going to hold you to that and ask you to come back and talk to us again as soon as you can, as the developments continue, because people care about it. We love to see your advocacy and your willingness to see it all the way through. It's what the American people voted for. And we're grateful to have that conversation with you here today. Chairman Smith, thank you for the time.
You can count on it. Look forward to the next time, Annie.
Sounds great. Bye-bye. Chairman Jason Smith, two really interesting conversations there specifically. I was very interested in the discussion that he had. To be able to walk into what he said was not really, it was like a detention facility, not really a prison so much, and to look at someone, to see their markings that they have placed on their body, to know which gangs that they're involved in, they vocalize it, and then to be like, yeah, I've killed six people. Are we fighting to get those people back? If they were wearing a plaid button-up polo, would that make a difference? It's just the lack of common sense right now. Specifically, I will pinpoint on the activists in the Democratic Party on the left. It doesn't make sense to me. It's not common, and it's really detrimental to the future of the country. And I am so grateful that Donald Trump is the president and Kamala Harris isn't. Quick break. When we come back, a couple more of your comments on the YouTube live chat poll. Is Trump winning on tariffs? Yes or no? We have to know what you think by voting on the YouTube live chat poll. Come join us there and tell us what you think. You can vote yes or no. Find us at youtube.com/@AnnieFry. We'll be right back. You want to tell a story about Brad getting a haircut?
Well, I don't have the story. I just thought when Brad was telling me, it was very good. And it was very true. Because I went to get a haircut a couple weeks ago. And mine's short enough that I can cut mine at home usually. But I'm not very good at getting my neck.
You cut your own hair?
I do.
We can tell.
But, you just take the shaver. It's like all one length. It doesn't matter.
Why don't you just shave your head?
I kind of do. I mean,
yeah, he does, doesn't he?
I don't shave it, but it's pretty short.
Can I see your hair?
I don't know. I'll think about it. But once a month or once every 6 weeks, I still go to get my hair cut because I want it all like professionally trimmed up.
Do you let the barber do your eyebrows? Yes or no, Brian?
if they do it, I'm fine with it. I don't know that
have
I
have they.
They used to. I don't think
I'm getting a little thin up there.
My eyebrows are?
Your eyebrows look fine. I didn't know if you did anything to them.
No.
Brad?
Yeah, if they ask.
Are they like, can I do something about these brows?
It's yes. Awkward.
It like, is
can I
like
touch
that.
This here?
What about your ears?
I'm fine with it if
inside.
They do it. Yeah, go for it.
Do they?
I don't go often enough.
You're
I don't
there.
Know.
But if you're only going every X amount of
Six,
weeks.
I don't think they do.
Have you ever had them trim up the inside of your ears?
I think so.
Brad?
Yes.
No, never the inside. Just that outside.
Nose?
No. Never nose.
Bikini?
Yeah, I'm fine. Again, if they ask. They're like, I'm getting a little close here. I'm like, you go for it, girl.
The inside of the ears is the gateway drug to the... How about a bikini wax?
Right.
Have you ever had anything waxed? Anything, ever?
Yeah. I used to get just the center of my
yeah.
eyebrows waxed.
Good for you.
Used to.
I commend that.
I'm too lazy to do it anymore.
Well, if you don't need to do it, you don't need
It's just a little bit.
Yeah, but if you saw it, if it stuck out at you when you were looking in the mirror, you would do something about it, right?
Yeah.
What about you, Brad?
I don't think that I have. I can't remember getting waxed on anything.
You'd remember.
Yeah, then no.
What's your bar?
You?
Heck yeah.
You want to tell about it or?
No. None of your business.
Well, you asked us.
Yeah, but you just answered. You could have said no.
I got to remember that I can say none of your business more.
Yeah, you should. You really should. Although that would really limit your contributions to the show.
Yeah, it would.
I kind of count on you yeah. having zero boundaries.
Let's talk about something controversial. Ryan, why don't you tell about the first time you...
you really pedal on this show in regret.
Oh, yeah.
So sweet that we get a lot of room out of that. Well, what's the story? You said there was an important story that needed to be told.
Okay, I'm setting it up because every 6 weeks, I will still go get my hair cut. And there's one place in Collinsville I usually call, but if they're full, I'll try to get just the random supercuts or wherever. But they all now require, even the local ones, they all require an appointment. You used to be able to just walk into a barber, and maybe this is COVID, or maybe I'm just
living in a... Is it an online appointment,
too? A bygone era, but you have to go online. You have to put your name in, or else you're at the mercy of hoping nobody
Whoever
else comes
else is
in.
In line.
Yeah. And
other people who made appointments.
Other people who also went online because you were just a walk-in. You get lowest priority. And it drives me crazy because it's so hard to figure out, okay, I'm leaving work now or wherever,
what
and
if
I'm going to be there
right.
in 20 minutes.
What if you, upon approaching your vehicle to get into it, to drive to get your haircut, you made an appointment.
You can do that as long as the.
Now, I know that people can do it. I'm talking about you.
Oh, that's what I do.
You do that now.
But the problem is sometimes the appointments are 45 minutes away and you're 15 minutes from the place.
Can't you make an appointment for ahead of time?
You
go
can.
Go show up and be like, I'm here and check in and get in early. That's the safe bet.
Maybe the way to do it is to say, I know I'll be there by at least. Let's say 4:45. So you make the appointment for that moment, and then you just leave at the time that it would get you there at that time. That's the easiest way to do it. But it's this whole process now to just get a haircut.
Well, the thing about it is like for me, Ryan said once every 6 weeks. I tried to go, and I had it set up with a rotating appointment once every 2 weeks to go get a haircut. But the problem is you always run into this because I got one day that I can make it there a week that's when the haircut will go. And there's always something that comes up on a Saturday. So if you miss it, then it's 4 weeks. And then if you miss that one, then it's 6 weeks. And you can't, like, my schedule isn't stable enough to say, hey, I know that I'm going to be in this place at this point every 2 weeks.
But
for
Brad,
a haircut.
Here's
I left work yesterday at 4:30 and got to the place to get my haircut. They didn't have an appointment. I just thought... It's Easter Monday. This won't be busy.
Easter Monday?
Yeah, wild.
I don't know why you call it that.
But I thought everybody got their haircuts done before Easter. I went to Easter looking like a shaggy dog. It'll be
no,
fine.
No, everybody went without getting their haircut, got shamed by their mom and grandma, and now has to go get a haircut so they can see
well,
their parents.
Apparently yeah. that's what happened because I got there and it was a 103-minute wait for a haircut at like 5 in the afternoon.
And then here's what I love. Brad gave them... The business.
No,
what?
I didn't give them the business, but I
wasn't. For what? For having a 103-minute wait?
They're like 103-minute wait. Do you just want to check in? Because the way it works is it's not appointments. You check in.
Yeah.
And then you're in line.
Yeah.
It's a virtual queue. So it's not actually like if you show up at this time, you'll get an appointment. So it's just you're at the mercy of whatever happens. And if three people in front of you in line cancel and you're driving on the road there and then you're not there in time, your appointment goes out the window.
Go to a different hair place.
Well, that's what I'm trying to find one that isn't like this.
That was his place, though.
You gave him the business?
Well, I walked in, and they're like, well, do you want to make an appointment or check in online and then come back? And I'm like, no.
I'm here.
I'm here now. I would like you to have maybe a spot each day for a walk-in.
Yeah.
just a walk-in spot. Because emergencies happen. You know, people need haircuts and things, you know.
It's emergency.
Okay, hold on. Because
it didn't used to be.
No. If you were Ryan, I'd push back on this point.
You going to do it anyway?
Heck yeah.
Okay.
You don't have a haircut emergency. You don't need your haircut more on Monday than you did on Sunday. You got to have like, don't dudes have like a 2-week window of going, I need to get a haircut.
I'm going
2 weeks is quite a bit.
I'm going on 6 right now.
10 days.
I give it a week. 10 days, and you get in your head about it. That's the problem. Is you go, dang it, I look so weird, or whatever.
But I mean, haircut emergency.
My point is this: not everybody's schedule works out to where they can plan it out, and you should have walk-ins at least available.
What do you do for your doctor?
I don't know what you do if you're a doctor. Like my doctor,
no, not you. Your doctor.
Oh, my doctor.
You don't have to go to the doctor once every 4 weeks.
My doctor's appointments are planned out 6 months in advance.
You can't find a hair place that will let you. Wait, you don't want to make appointments?
At this point, no, not anymore.
No, wait. We're missing the point of the story here. Because there's something that he said that I said, we've got to talk about that.
Well, that's just it. So after I said that, and she's like, well, you can make an appointment on the app. And I'm like, you want me to get an app? So that I can make an appointment to get a haircut.
Thank you.
That's their business model. Yes.
Thank you.
What's wrong with that?
That's dumb.
I don't want to download every business's app in the entire world just to get a haircut.
Well, that's fine. You don't have to. You have to wait 103 minutes if you want to walk in, though.
That's what I'm saying.
You get to do one or the other.
It's not good. I don't like it.
Well, I did leave. So I'm trying to find someplace else.
He did leave. So,
but it's a joke to me that almost, I would say, 99% of the haircut places out there, you have to have an appointment to get a haircut. And it wasn't like that before COVID. And now it is. They got it in their brain that you got to make a haircut appointment. Otherwise, you don't get a haircut. And that's...
It's wild to me to think that you wouldn't tie together haircuts and appointments.
Oh, no.
It didn't used to be like that.
No, it didn't used to be like that. Not for guys. I don't know. Maybe it was for girls because it maybe takes longer. Is that right?
Well, I only ever get my hair cut every 4 years, and you were a part of that, so.
Yeah. Well, we made an appointment to do that, I guess, in a sense. We had to get to a certain number of Facebook or YouTube followers.
No, we raised money.
We raised money. That's right. That's a good cause.
We raised, yeah. Thank you.
That's a good cause.
That's a good job we did.
Wait, so just to get to the bottom of this, your beef is that you have to make an appointment to get a haircut?
My beef is that they want me to download an app to make an appointment to get a haircut.
Can't you go online and do it?
No.
I don't know.
I've actually tried it.
I don't know about that.
And it's, like I said,
on the break, I want to know this place.
It's a virtual queue.
I'm going to call him and give him the business, just like Brad.
And make an appointment for Brad while you're on the phone.
To check with his beef.
I have to make an appointment for my coworker. To get a haircut.
I've got a haircut emergency. You know who had a haircut emergency? This girl. You know who made an appointment ahead of time because I knew that the haircut was going to be an emergency? This girl. That's what you have to do.
Let's not lose the fact here that Annie said that there is such a thing as a haircut emergency.
Ooh,
yeah,
that's a good point.
Well, why don't you let Ryan cut your hair and then you can go in, they'll look, you'll be like, this is an emergency.
I have nothing to do with this fight.
You know what?
It's just you two.
I would let Ryan cut my hair. We just need to find the right reason.
I think Brad, what he's missing out on here is that every single time he gets his hair cut, he's not raising money for charity.
Yeah,
what's wrong with
selfish.
Him?
Is there anybody out there who can solve a haircut emergency for me? Message me on the Annie Fry Show Facebook. It's an emergency. We'll be right back.